NBAA and AOPA file comments with the TSA. Obama proposes increased funding for NASA. And the Google Lunar X Prize announces its 17th contestant. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, March 2, 2009. National Business Aviation Association President and CEO Ed Bolin followed up his earlier appearances at TSA public hearings in writing ahead of Friday's deadline for public comment on the agency's proposed large aircraft security program. Among Ed's comments, quote, "The TSA needs to understand that in preparing the LASP, the agency has attempted to overlay a security regime for the big airlines onto tens of thousands of businesses all across the country. If left unchanged, the plan would overwhelm these small businesses in a time of economic crisis without providing a clear security benefit," unquote. The total comments received by Friday's deadline numbered about 4,000. The official NBAA filing included 30 pages of supporting documents. You can see the highlights in a story dated February 27th at nbaa.org. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association also filed official comments on Friday with 48 pages of documentation and took a slightly different tack. Its filing said in part, quote, "It is an unreasonably expansive and intrusive response to an undocumented and unproven security threat. The LASP could force one quarter of the reliever airports in the United States to ban aircraft weighing more than 12,500 pounds, and the TSA has underestimated the cost of the program to citizens and businesses by a factor of six. LASP could cost the general aviation community some $1.2 billion a year," unquote. Andy Cibula, AOPA Executive VP of Government Affairs, said even pilots of aircraft below the threshold weight are expressing alarm. Quote, "Even if the LASP doesn't affect them now, they're concerned that regulations will eventually apply to the aircraft they fly," unquote. He called for formal rulemaking, noting, quote, "This NPRM does not provide the confidence that the proposed regulations would provide substantial security improvements that justify the potential financial burden and the intrusion on individual rights," unquote. There have been lingering questions about President Obama's commitment to NASA since campaign audiences heard a couple of different variations, but his budget is good news for space exploration proponents. Obama's first federal budget proposal allocates $18.7 billion to NASA in the current fiscal year. That's an increase of $2.4 billion over last year. It allows for adding one more shuttle mission to service the International Space Station, but still retires the fleet next year. The budget also renews exploration of Earth's moon and robotic missions to places where no robot has gone before. Also included is $1.3 billion for development and acquisition of weather satellites and climate sensors, presumably in part to replace the orbiting carbon observatory that crashed into the ocean near Antarctica last week. Reviews, as would be expected, are mixed. Acting NASA Administrator Christopher Scalise calls it fiscally responsible. Aerospace Industries Association President Marion Blakey says, quote, "In this remarkably difficult economic atmosphere, we are encouraged to see a budget proposal that recognizes the importance of our national security and invests in space and aviation priorities," unquote. But Space Foundation CEO Elliot Pullum calls it a disappointingly small step in the right direction. Among private space developers aiming for the moon, the XPRIZE Foundation's Google Lunar XPRIZE has announced a new competitor. Synergy Moon has 48 members from 15 countries, sponsorship from eSpaceTickets.com, and has partnered with rocket manufacturer Interorbital Systems, which competed in the historic 2004 Ansari XPRIZE. That was the $10 million race to suborbital space. The field of publicly announced competitors in the $30 million race now stands at 17. You can find the latest updates at www.googlelunarxprize.org. Up next on ANN, Flight 3407 draws its first lawsuit. Gulfstream is moving ahead with the G250. And could the Airbus A400M lose its partners? You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC 700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal tips, composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing from March 2nd. I'm Paul Plagg. Last month's crash of a Colgan Air Q400 on approach to Buffalo has drawn its first lawsuit. The firm of Baum, Headland, Aristay, and Goldman filed suit Thursday on behalf of the two sons of Susan Whaley, one of the victims. Whaley was cantor of Temple Beth Am in Williamsville, New York. Named as defendants are Continental Airlines, Colgan Air, Pinnacle Airlines, that's the parent company of Colgan, and Bombardier Aerospace, the manufacturer of the Q400. The suit alleges the flight crew lost control of the aircraft in part due to airfoil icing, negligence by the flight crew, and a de-icing system criticized as antiquated. There's been much speculation surrounding what caused the crash of Flight 3407. Including pilot error, too much icing, and a possible glitch in the ILS for runway 23 at Buffalo. The NTSB isn't likely to come out with a causal report until at least early next year. Some bizjet manufacturers are still pursuing their projects despite all the bashing from politicians. Gulfstream Aerospace is celebrating the fuselage joining of the first Gulfstream G250. That's the company's newest mid-sized cabin jet. The company says advancements in the assembly process and tooling reduce the time needed to build the fuselage. Press Henney, the company's senior VP for programs, engineering, and test, added, quote, "The mechanics have been very pleased with the precision of the assembly process. Everything went smoothly with the fuselage joining, and now we look forward to the next major milestone, the aircraft's first flight," unquote. Introduced at NBAA 2008 in Orlando, the G250 boasts the largest cabin and the longest range at the fastest speed in the industry's mid-size class, specifically 3,400 nautical miles at 0.8 Mach, with a top speed of 0.85 Mach and a maximum altitude of 45,000 feet. Initial phase manufacturing for the G250 takes place at Israel Aerospace Industries in Israel. Final phase manufacturing happens at a Gulfstream plant in Dallas. Gulfstream projects first flight in the second half of this year, and certification and first deliveries in 2011. A week after Brazilian plane maker Embraer announced plans to cut 4,200 jobs worldwide, several unions have sued, claiming the company failed to give proper notice. The company replies, quote, "This lawsuit submits the question of whether the dismissals carried out by Embraer without previous negotiations with relevant unions were legally conducted. It also includes a request for interim relief suspending the layoffs," unquote. That temporary stay of new layoffs has been granted, but does not apply to workers already laid off. Embraer insists it complied with all laws and regulations and says it will appeal. Quote, "Embraer reiterates its profound respect for the employees who were laid off, but once again emphasizes the need to adjust to the drastic reduction in demand for aircraft worldwide," unquote. The Airbus A400M military transport, which has been under development for two decades and encountered several obstinate last-minute glitches, is beginning to attract more bad news. Finger-pointing between Eads and its contractors over causes for the delayed first flight have been followed by rumblings that the British might pull out of the partnership. And now, Reuters cites a story in the German daily Der Spiegel in reporting German procurement officials may recommend that country's military abandon support for the A400M, unless Airbus and parent company Eads can explain how, or if, they can solve the remaining problems. Eads told its partner nations in January they must join together to find a way forward, widely considered a euphemism for invest more money. Still ahead, AOPA gives away its 2008 sweepstakes plane. Sonex will now sell you its kits in phases. And you'll want to carry change when you fly Ryanair. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, March 2nd. I'm Paul Plack. In what AOPA describes as one of its most elaborate ruses ever, 25-year-old Caroline Amadeo of Poughkeepsie, New York, was convinced to come work the AOPA booth at the Women in Aviation Conference in Atlanta last week. On Saturday, the Daniel Webster College grad, who's now earned a degree in air traffic control management, was asked to assist on stage as AOPA President Craig Fuller presented the grand prize in the 2008 Get Your Glass Sweepstakes, a fully refurbished glass panel equipped 1976 Piper Archer II. So she was standing there, holding a little glass replica of the plane mounted on a pedestal, waiting to hand it to the winner when she learned that that winner was her. Caroline will hopefully get to enjoy her new airplane a little before starting work at her new job this May at New York Center. AOPA will move on to its 2009 Let's Go Flying Sweepstakes, which will award a pristine 2005 Cirrus SR-22 sometime in early 2010. Sonex has announced it will now sell its kits in stages. The manufacturer, based in Oshkosh, is acknowledging that some of us prefer pay-as-we-go to getting the whole thing at once and making interest payments while we build. CEO Jeremy Monette explains, quote, Sonex has received requests for Sonex and WayX subkit building options since we started offering a complete kit in 2001. Many customers expressed an interest in spreading their aircraft construction costs out over time, particularly as financing has become more challenging, unquote. Ordering in stages will cost more, especially given shipping charges, but the company expects the option to be popular. Alaska Airlines has become the latest carrier to announce plans for in-flight wireless internet. Alaska will test Row 44's satellite-based service on an afternoon flight between Seattle and San Jose for about 60 days. As in the case of Southwest Airlines' test of Row 44's technology, Alaska's service will be free of charge during the test, after which it will be assessed for commercial rollout for the airline's entire fleet. Alaska notes the satellite-based technology allows passengers to maintain Wi-Fi access regardless of the position of the aircraft over land or water. Ground-based systems lose coverage over water. Final approval for operation of the system by the Federal Communications Commission has not yet been received. And finally, a return to the days of pay toilets has been a joke ever since the airline industry started unbundling and charging a la carte fees. But on Friday, Ryanair CEO Michael O'Leary actually suggested his airline may soon install coin slots on the lav doors. As expected, indignation from passengers has been widespread, but so has press coverage, and if that was O'Leary's goal, it wouldn't be the first time. Even Ryanair chief spokesman Stephen McNamara raised an eyebrow. Quote, Michael makes a lot of this stuff up as he goes along, and while this has been discussed internally, there are no immediate plans to introduce it, unquote. But then he adds, quote, passengers using train and bus stations are already accustomed to paying to use the toilet, so why not on airplanes, unquote. Dublin resident Samantha Jones is a regular commuter on Ryanair. She says of the airline, quote, your dignity goes out the window. If you are given a choice between wetting your knickers or not wetting your knickers, you'll pay whatever fee they make you pay, and Mr. O'Leary knows this well, unquote. You know, I wouldn't worry too much about this one. Let's see how big a protest is raised by the people who clean Ryanair planes between flights. And that's the latest from Aero News. And yes, I was tempted to say, let's see how big a stink they make. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves discusses the importance of airmets and sigmets and talks about a student solo gone bad at his flight school. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.